This is John Walden of Colorado Springs. Continuing our study in the book of Ephesians, we begin to read today at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now we're told in verse 7 that the Lord Jesus has redeemed us by his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, the book of Ephesians tells us about our spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. I'm afraid that many Christians know very little beyond the forgiveness of sin. In fact, I know some people who say, well, I got forgiven when I accepted Christ as my Savior. When I was converted, I was forgiven, but then I sinned after that, so I got lost again, and then I got converted again, and then I sinned again and got lost again. They seem to think that all that God ever gave them was the forgiveness of sins. If they understood his grace, the riches of his grace, if they understood what it means to be justified, and if they understood what it means to be chosen in him before the foundation of the world and given the adoption of children or the placing as full-grown sons in verses 4 and 5 and being accepted in the beloved in verse 6, they wouldn't talk like that. The Lord has done a great deal more for us than just to forgive us. We're told here in verse 9 that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. That means that he has taken us into his confidence. The Lord Jesus wanted us to share with him. We're called his bride. We're called his companions. We're called his friends. And he said, I've called you friends, not servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master doeth. But we as believers are brought into the mystery of his will. Now, this doesn't mean his will for our individual lives or what he wants me to do tomorrow, but it means his plans. God has some very definite plans. His plan is not to convert the world. There are some people very disturbed because the world hasn't been converted, but if they would read the book of Ephesians, they would understand that God is taking out of both Jew and Gentile a people for his name's sake. That his plan is to build out of those who will trust in him in this present age what he calls his church. And one of these days he's going to take that church home to be with himself, and then he's coming to judge this world. So he wants us to know the mystery of his will. Now, mysteries in the New Testament do not mean mysterious things, but they mean things which were not known beforehand but are now revealed to us. So if you will study his word, if you're really a child of God, the Holy Spirit will enable you to understand these things which in the past were not known. Now, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. This is his plan, gathering in Christ. Now, we're told a great many times in the book of Ephesians that we have these wonderful blessings in Christ. 25 times in this book, he says, in Christ. And 93 times we have the word in. That is, God's plan is that he is gathering us into a person and into a body. The Lord wants us to know that we are part of his plan for the church. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Notice this is not the inheritance which we have not yet obtained that Peter talks about. Peter says there is an inheritance reserved for us in heaven that fades not away. But here we're told that we have obtained an inheritance. Now, what is our inheritance? Well, our inheritance, like the Levites in the Old Testament, is the Lord himself. God gave to each one of the tribes in the Old Testament some special possessions in the land of Canaan. But he said that the Levites would not have any such possession because the Lord himself would be their possession. So it says, in whom? In the Lord Jesus. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. How wonderful it is to have a share in the Lord Jesus. How wonderful it is to have a part in his plans. And how wonderful it is to have a part in this right now. Of course, our responsibility, as was the responsibility of Old Testament saints, is to go in and possess the land. The Lord said, every place where the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. And the same thing is true now. Many Christians are living on the border when they could be enjoying the whole land. They're just paddling around a little bit in the shallow water when they could be enjoying the waters to swim in that Ezekiel talks about. Then he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now this is the plan of God. He wants us to be to the praise of his glory. This is mentioned a number of times in the book of Ephesians. We'll notice this as we go along. So these are the three things we have from the Lord Jesus. Three things from the Father, verses 4, 5, and 6. We were chosen, predestinated, and made accepted in the beloved. Three things in the Son. We are redeemed. He has revealed his plans to us and has given us an inheritance. And now we have three things through the Holy Spirit. We trusted in Christ. How did this happen? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How did you become a child of God? Why, this was brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit. We're told that we are born again by the water and by the Spirit. The Spirit of God, taking the word of God, produces new life in our souls. This is a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful thing that the Spirit of God has brought us to trust in the Lord Jesus. It wasn't your own intellect, it wasn't your own wisdom, but the Spirit of God opened your eyes to see in the Lord Jesus all that you needed. And if he hasn't yet done this for you, he'd like to do it. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, your responsibility is to turn to the Word of God with an open mind and a willingness to be taught. And the Spirit of God will make Christ real to you. But not only has he done this, he has baptized us into one body. We have been established into Christ, as he says in 2 Corinthians 1. And not only so, but he indwells us. And he goes on to say, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God means that we are brought into a relationship with himself that's based on a finished transaction. You see, when something is finished, you put a seal on it. When you draw up a legal document and it's all settled, you put a seal upon it. So the Lord wants us to know that the Spirit of God has given us this place. We are secure. When you load a boxcar, you seal it, marking it for its owner and making it safe so that no one can tamper with it. And, of course, a seal molds the wax into the shape of the seal. And this is the work of the Spirit of God, too, conforming us. And eventually, he's going to glorify us. According to the 8th of Romans, he's going to change our bodies at the last. And this is brought about by the work of the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful thing to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, don't ever dishonor the Lord by praying for the Holy Spirit to come or praying that he will do these things to you, because he does these things to every person who receives Christ. But what you should do is to thank him for it and then begin to enjoy the sealing of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. And so we're told that the blessing of the Spirit of God is that he is the earnest. Now, this means a foretaste, a little sample of what we're going to have in the coming day. And it's a wonderful thing to enjoy the Lord Jesus through the work of the Spirit of God in us. He enables us to appreciate when we read the Scriptures and to understand. And so we get a little foretaste through the Spirit of God. But it's also a guarantee of what's to come, because an earnest is a guarantee of the completion of a transaction. We're told in the 5th chapter of Ephesians that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So you see, the earnest that we have in the Lord through the Spirit of God is that we can enjoy the Spirit's leading here and now. The only difference between now and then is that our bodies will be changed. And this is going to happen at the last, the redemption of the purchased possession. As we read in verse 14, this means that the time is coming when the Lord is going to make us exactly like himself physically. And all of this will be to the praise of his glory. So Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So our hope is the coming in glory, made to the praise of his glory. And then we have faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. So we have the same three things that are given in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. Oftentimes these are linked together in the scripture. Now, Paul says, because I know that you have all of this, I am thankful, and you and I ought to be thankful. But not only was he thankful, but he was prayerful. There were still some things that they needed. Now, they did not need to receive any more blessings, because we were told in verse 3 that he has blessed us, verse 4, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So we already are given everything that God could have for us. But his prayer, which we'll look at in our next study, beginning with verse 17, is that we might appreciate these things. God has done a great deal more for us as believers than we have appreciated, or we have understood, or we have entered into. And so the Lord would like you to enjoy all that he has for you. Now, if I'm talking to someone who has not yet trusted Christ, let me tell you that being a Christian is a most wonderful experience. The Lord has everything for you, and it's all wrapped up in one package in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Would you like to take him as your Savior while we pray? Lord, we pray that some will receive thee as Savior just now, and we pray that thy dear children who are listening may be blessed and led on to appreciate all that we have in our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.